values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
It is the Mike Broomhead Show. It is 5 minutes after the hour of 11 on this Tuesday, feeling like a Monday, but it's not Mike Broomhead here. It's Mike Opelka sitting in for Mike Broomhead today. I expect he'll be back tomorrow, and I thank you for welcoming me. So many things we have to try and get to in this final hour of the program, including just a few minutes. Did you hear this? I can't wait for this. I'm going to tease it again at the end of the segment. I'm so excited about it. I am twitching in my chair. So many things I want to get to, including the just inspirational words of our president yesterday. As we all got together to celebrate the 4th of July, our Independence Day, and that moment in history 246 years ago. And Joe Biden, he always has something that is uplifting and uniting to say, right? Yeah, I think he does. He says it all the time.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word.
Yeah.
I was going to put him...
Yes, exactly. That's the word I was thinking of too, sir. Exactly the word. Yesterday, though, that's not from yesterday. That's from a while ago when Joe Biden was announcing the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. I just thought it'd be fun to play that. But yesterday, Joe Biden was standing in pretty much the same place, pretty much the exact same place outside of the White House on the South Lawn. And he was speechifying. And we were told that Joe Biden was going to address the situation in Highland Park, Illinois. We were told that those of us in the media who are on the feed, that when he makes his remarks to the members of the military who were gathered outside of the portico there, that Joe was going to say something about this horrific incident. And we were all prepared for it. And I think the only person who wasn't prepared for it was the president. Because he went into this wild, kind of rambling, weird statement. And there was about 8 minutes of audio that came out of it. And I think he was trying to mention it without mentioning it. And I think he missed an opportunity. And that I really think is a tragedy. Because when there is something horrible that happens, a lot of people look to the leader of the free world to crystallize the moment and maybe put on his empathy cape. He becomes grief man. Yesterday, not so much. Here's a little bit of this 7 or 8 minutes that I said was so bizarre.
Before I left for Europe, I signed a law, the first real gun safety law in 30 years.
Kind of like obligatory applause there.
And things will get better still, but not without more hard work together. Y'all heard what happened. Y'all heard what happened today. But each day, we're reminded there's nothing guaranteed about our democracy. Nothing guaranteed about our way of life. We have to fight for it, defend it, and earn it by voting.
What? You just had a massacre in a small town in one of the most Democrat cities in the country. And that's what you come up with? I think he forgot where it was. I'm not making a joke there. I do think there is a problem upstairs in the brain. And he has issues remembering things. So when he went to this point, here, listen to it again. I think he forgot. He couldn't remember Highland Park.
Y'all heard what happened. Y'all heard what happened today.
Yeah, we did.
But each day, we're reminded there's nothing guaranteed about our democracy. Nothing guaranteed about our way of life. We have to fight for it, defend it, and earn it by voting. To refine, evolve, and extend the calling of America to move forward boldly and unafraid.
What does that have to do with what happened in Highland Park? It is nonsense. It is wandering. It is unfocused. It is disturbing. And it should be disturbing to everyone that hears it. It should be disturbing to the family members of the president. It feels like elder abuse at this point.
And this day reminds us of what brought us together long ago, what binds us still, and at our best, what we strive for. It's we the people.
Yes, it is. We the people. And we the people are very worried. 85% of us think the country's going in the wrong direction. We the people in the independent category. Only 18% of them support what you're doing, sir. We the people. We the people don't get it. But continue. It's all platitudes. There's no substance there. And again, it's rambling, wandering, directionless.
Not a hollow phrase in America. We the people. Doing all we can to ensure that the idea of America, the cause of freedom and justice and equality, does more than survive the divisions of our time, but that it shines like the sun to light up the future of our world. I know we can do this.
Yeah, I know we can do it too, but it involves getting the GOP back in control. I'm just saying. Because the leader of the Democratic Party, Joseph Romney Biden Jr., doesn't have all the synapses firing. He's got problems upstairs, problems between the ears. That is embarrassing. That was an opportunity that was completely lost. And then last night in Philadelphia, not far from where I live, 20 minutes from where I live, the city of Philadelphia, the place where this country was birthed, where the founders got together to make that Declaration of Independence, they had a parade where nothing happened. And then they had a fireworks show where someone shot two cops. And thank God the cops are okay. Thank God the cops were grazed and both of them taken immediately to the hospital. Superficial wounds that they will survive. One of the bullets was lodged in the cop's hat. Talk about frightening. Those men and women go to work every day and their families don't know if they're coming home. But Mayor Kenney, a Democrat in Philadelphia, had to blame it on the Supreme Court.
It was a laid-back, chill day. Weather was beautiful. Concert was beautiful. But we live in America, and we have the Second Amendment, and we have the Supreme Court of the United States telling everybody they can carry a gun wherever they want. It's like Dodge City.
It's not like Dodge City, sir. Respectfully, you're a moron, and you don't understand the Second Amendment. And hopefully, Philadelphia will wake up. Hopefully, all of these blue cities and these very blue states will wake up and realize that they have been digging the grave for themselves. Hopefully, we shall see. It's Michael Pelka. I'm in for Mike Broomhead for the rest of the hour. And when we get back, I'm going to be tested. I'm going to be tested. We're going to play that little segment. Did you hear this? That's next on the Mike Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It is the Broomhead Show, the Mike Broomhead Show, without Broomhead today, but just for today. It's Mike Opelka. That's my name. And I'm a little nervous. I have to admit, I'm a little nervous because we're about to venture into a new territory for me, into this brand new segment. It has an intro, does it not, Jeremy?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Well, today it's going to be Opelka's reaction to the hottest news stories. And unfortunately, Mike, Independence Day was marred by a pair of shootings, one near Chicago where six people were killed. Another one last night when someone opened fire during a fireworks show in Philadelphia, wounding a pair of police officers. Philly Mayor Jim Kenney says guns need to go.
We live in America and we have the Second Amendment. And we have the Supreme Court of the United States telling everybody they can carry a gun wherever they want. It's like Dodge City. I was in Canada 2 weeks ago. Never thought about a gun. The only people I knew had guns up in Canada were police officers. And that's the way it should be here. But, I mean, look, in my lifetime, that's never going to happen.
So what bad could come out of only the government having guns, Mike?
Yeah, that's a great question. Did nobody read history books in the Kenney family? Did nobody understand what happened when the Nazis decided, well, we better take all the guns away from the Jews, and then we better take all the Jews away and kill them? It's just awful, and these people are clueless. And did he not realize the complete, utter irony of making a statement like that on a day like the 4th of July, when a bunch of rebels, if you will, armed because they wanted to protect themselves and their family, took on the nation with the greatest army and the greatest navy and defeated it? Does he not understand how ridiculous that statement is? And he's also protected by a small army of very well-armed security guards wherever he goes. So Mayor Kenney, who is completely disconnected from reality, I know because I live, as I said, 20 minutes from here, just an absolute loss on that one. He's got to take the L on that one. When you're using Canada as the example, it's a default loss. You just might as well walk off the field.
Well, a lot of turbulence for air travelers over the weekend, as ABC News reports.
Delta, American, and United cutting back flight schedules for the next 2 months with insufficient staffing. Delta even offered 8 passengers on one overbooked flight $10,000 cash for their seats, as the airline also deals with pilots picketing over pay and scheduling.
So, Mike, my question to you on this is, unless someone you really love is on their deathbed, is there any way you do not give up your seat for 10 grand?
Oh, no, I'm not even blinking. So the first person to raise their hand is going to get 10,000. But if it was 10,000 miles, I'm...
Exactly.
But no, that is so rare. And Mayor Pete, who actually is the transportation secretary, but he'll always be Mayor Pete to me. Buttigieg, that's how he told us to pronounce his name. Mayor Pete wanted to make sure that Americans knew they are entitled to compensation, cash compensation, if your flight is canceled, or additional miles if you get bumped. And I just want to ask Mayor Pete, because I do ride Amtrak a lot. I'm up in the Northeast Corridor, and I used to take Amtrak once a week to New York and once a week to Washington, D.C. to cover something. If my train is late, am I going to be compensated? Because that's what he was saying. Is the government going to, and they're too high priced as well because they don't have any competition. I'm just amazed by this. When I look at the problems of the airline industry right now, it was pandemic created, right? We pretty much shut down air travel. And we gave the airline industry in excess of $50 billion. Remember that? We gave them $50 billion with a B dollars and said, you know, we want you to be able to keep your employees employed. We want you to be able to keep your business going and your planes maintained. So we're going to give you $50 billion. You don't even have to pay it back. And so the airlines couldn't keep the pilots trained. That was at issue here is one of the big deals that airline pilots have to be putting in so many hours of flight time in order to be able to be qualified and certified to be safe in the air. And that makes sense. We all want safe pilots. So where's that $54 billion? I want to know where it is. And go ahead.
Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas went on ABC News and said this is why the border has been overwhelmed for the last year and a half.
The migration that is occurring throughout the hemisphere is reflective of the economic downturn, increase in violence throughout the region. We continue to warn people not to take the dangerous journey. We are enforcing our laws.
Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job.
And the White House press secretary said last week the border is closed. So do they really believe they're doing a good job with the border?
No, they don't. They're just lying to us. It is such obfuscation of reality that all of these people are incompetent. You've got incontinence and incompetence in that White House, in that cabinet room. You've got a guy in Mayorkas who is way in over his head, who's absolutely overwhelmed. He's just, we're doing everything we could. And I feel worse for every single person who believes that they're supported by the government as they try and uphold the security of the border. So many men and women are down there trying to do their job. And look at the people who are accused of whipping people, and they did not do that. So the leadership is what's causing the problem. And a shame on Corinne Jean-Pierre, KGB, the press secretary, who said the border was closed. That border ain't closed. If that's true, if you believe that's closed, you don't understand the language that you're speaking, madam.
Last story of the day for you on this one, Mike. If you're into quirky sitcoms, here's some good news from ABC News.
You know what I think about pop psychiatry?
Yes, I know what you think about everything.
Can't get enough of those Crane brothers. It looks like the long-awaited Frasier reboot is finally happening. Kelsey Grammer on CBS's The Talk revealing they are in the final stages of script production. He said shooting could begin in October. It'll debut on Paramount Plus.
So my question is there an iconic show or sitcom you would like to see brought back to life or rebooted?
I would like to see Taxi come back. I would love to see Alex and Louie and Nardo and all of them come back to the garage in New York. I would love to see Taxi back, but I applaud the decision to bring back the Crane brothers, and I can't believe it's coming from mainstream media because Kelsey Grammer is such a strong conservative. They got rid of Tim Allen. They got rid of anyone who has a hint of strong conservatism gets shown the door from the networks. So this one really surprises me, but I will look forward to seeing Kelsey Grammer. And I don't know the politics of David Hyde Pierce, but this is a good one. I'm happy about this. Well, that's my first and probably only effort at Did You Hear This? I liked it a lot, a whole lot. And we still have some things to get to. Waste, fraud, and abuse in the government? Whew, have I got stories for you. It's Mike Opelka in for Mike Broomhead on The Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It is the Mike Broomhead Show. My name is Mike Opelka, in for my buddy Mike Broomhead. And we are friends. That is a real deal. We actually talk to each other on the phone. It's not just a fake radio friendship. I know a lot of people say that when they're guest hosting, but it's the truth. I'm a fan of this guy and I'm a friend of his, so I'm lucky to have both of those. So many things I want to get to before we wrap up. We have less than a half an hour here, and it seems like it went like a blink of an eye. And I'm happy to be here. One of the things that bothers me is when the government lives better than the people it's supposed to be protecting, supporting, etc. You know. It just really irritates me when the people who call themselves public servants live like royalty. And we've allowed that to happen. We have been the people who said, yeah, okay, we can go with that. Yeah, sure, we'll let that happen. Yeah, you can be elected as many times as you want and stay as long as you want here, and then we'll give you a giant pension when you leave. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And meanwhile, we're all working like dogs. And Ronald Reagan, one of the greats, just let's face it, Reagan was just such a blessing to this country. Ronald Reagan had some brilliant thoughts when he was the president, and one of them comes to mind when I think about this segment here, as I think about Reagan and his wisdom and all of his compassion for the country and his leadership. He truly led by example, whereas we see this guy who keeps throwing the blame off on everyone else but himself. But Reagan was the guy who talked about how inflation is something that hits, and I'm looking for the actual clip here. I have this this clip of Ronald Reagan that I wanted to share with you of him saying it. Inflation is not that the people are living too well. It's that the government is living too well. We don't have inflation. The exact quote from Ronald Wilson Reagan. We don't have inflation because the people are living too well. We have inflation because the government is living too well. That's a truer words never spoken. And that's absolutely the case today. Our budget, while has many important and necessary things in it, well, there's a whole bunch of waste, fraud, and abuse. And so I tracked down some of the specific examples of waste, fraud, and abuse, and I want to share them with you because I think we need to constantly remind these people who say they are elected officials and they like to call themselves public servants. And again, no, the public servants are the people who fight for our freedoms. The real public servants, the men and women in the military, the men and women on the front lines of the war on crime, the men and women who put on a firefighter's uniform. How many calls did we have in town over the last couple of days? Over 700? These are the real heroes. These are the real public servants. Not the people who sit in Washington, D.C. or in their offices and get the benefit of our taxpayer dollars, providing them a job, a staff, office space, travel budgets for some of them. There's a guy out of Illinois, Representative Rush, out of the Chicagoland area, a guy who has taken advantage of the Nancy Pelosi absentee vote that she put into effect during COVID. He has voted absentee more than 90% of the time while billing you and I, the taxpayers, tens of thousands of dollars to travel in his district or around the country. So he's not in D.C. He's hanging out with his pals, living like a king because we provided it. And I know that Senator Sinema has been having a really interesting time as the people who want Roe v. Wade reinstated, the angry people who are so hell-bent on killing infants in the womb, they've been outside of her house trying to get her to vote to overturn the filibuster. I don't think that's how you win the hearts of people. I really don't. They protest outside the house. And she's been pretty strong on her position. So yelling at somebody or threatening rarely works against someone who's as strong as Senator Sinema. I don't know her, never talked to her, but I appreciate the fact that she makes a clear case for what she believes. And if you don't understand the concept of the filibuster, then you're a person who's probably in favor of mob rule. And that never really works out for anybody, because eventually you're on the wrong end of the mob. So the concept of the filibuster is one of the more genius things. And the Democrats who want to change it have no understanding of history, as that's how we got to the 6-3 Supreme Court, because Harry Reid nuked the judicial filibuster. Yeah, it's a bad idea. So getting back to my waste, fraud, and abuse topic, this is really interesting to me. Because some of these examples are so small, you'll say, Mike, why are you upset about this? Every dollar wasted is a dollar that could have been spent somewhere else, or a dollar that could have been in your pocket, that could have been back into the economy. Because when you take a dollar out of the government and put it into the economy, it provides for jobs. It provides for all kinds of great things for communities. So, for example, let's look at not exactly a gigantic waste, fraud, and abuse item here. It's $477,121, right? It's not even $500,000. You're saying, Mike, the budget's trillions. Why are you worried about $477,101? I'll tell you why. It's exactly why. What I said. Those are dollars that could be in the local economies, in the pockets of the people, you and me, etc. And what did we spend that money on? We allocated $477,121 to a Florida lab that is giving male rhesus macaques, you know, kind of monkeys, hormones to turn them into women. We are trying to make male monkeys into female monkeys. Why are we making trans monkeys? It's just insane to me. It's a bad idea. I'm sorry, but that's awful, and I don't want to see drag monkey shows next, so that's a waste of money. Let me give you another one. You're probably saying, Mike, that's an isolated incident, right? Isolated incident. No, it's not. We now have, how much money did we spend here? This is irritating to me. I've actually saved the article. $6.97 million. Now, we spent almost $7 million on something that is funded in Stanford University. $6.97 million. Let's just call it $7 million, because that's rounding up in government math, right? That's how you do that. You round it up in government math. We spent $7 million in taxpayer money for the National Cancer Institute to build an intelligent toilet system. Now, I know what you're saying. Mike, cancer, big deal. We should be fighting cancer. Yes, we are fighting cancer. And private industry is also doing great work battling cancer. As a matter of fact, in the last, 7 years, metastatic melanoma, one of the worst cancers you could get, skin cancer. Metastatic melanoma used to be an instant death sentence. Because of all the progress we've made, we've now got that down to about 65-70% survivability. And if we're going to make one more leap in the breakthroughs, it'll go to 85%. So why do we need to spend $7 million on an intelligent toilet system? Well, you're probably saying, what does this intelligent toilet system do, Mike? Well, thanks for asking. I will tell you. It films the user's nether regions. Yes, the user's nether regions. And creates basically butt prints like your fingerprint. I'm sorry, the waste, fraud, and abuse has to stop. It has to absolutely stop. And if we elect good Republicans, maybe we can start saving some money for the taxpayers. It's Mike Opelka in for Broomhead on The Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It is the Mike Broomhead Show. It's also about 10 minutes before me getting out of here. It's Mike Opelka. That's my name, Mike Opelka. You can find me on social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and a little bit on Truth Social. But I find it to be a touch of a echo chamber. So I stay out of there. Heavy traffic is on the big sites. I'll go back when it opens up a little bit more and do a little bit more. But if you see me, say hello, wave. It's always a good thing. I have enjoyed being here today. So many things I didn't get to cover. There are a couple things I have to mandatory get them in here. We mentioned Schadenfreude earlier. Schadenfreude, a German word meaning the pleasure that we derive at the misfortune of others. I guess when you find something bad that happens to someone that makes you happy, like, for example, when Ilhan Omar, the most ungrateful person in Congress, walks on stage at a Somali music festival back home in Minnesota in her district where she thinks she's going to be welcomed as the conquering hero. When Ilhan Omar walks on stage and the crowd boos her into oblivion. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. I want that on a permanent loop. I want that booing to continue and continue and continue and continue. It can't get any better than that. And maybe she won't get reelected. I doubt it. There's not a solid contender in the race there in Minnesota. They need to fix that because she truly is despicable and doesn't really respect America. And what the country has given to her. It's one of the more offensive things I've seen happen. And yesterday, I mentioned this earlier, and we're just getting around to it at the end of the program here. Yesterday was the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest, the competition for the mustard yellow belt in Coney Island in New York. First time it was back in the original location since COVID. It's a big stinking deal. And American super eater Joey Jaws Chestnut was back, even though he had crutches. He apparently had something happen on the way to the competition where they had to outfit him with crutches. I was reading the story in the New York Post the day before that said the world's greatest eater will limp bravely into battle on Monday. He showed up on crutches at the weigh-in. And said, I'm still going to be able to eat like mad. He ruptured a tendon. Not exactly an injury I think of when I think of competitive eating. And all these guys, not all of them, but about 80% of the people in the competitive eating world, they're not big fatty fat fats. You know, I could lose more weight than they could, and I'm okay. I'm not in bad shape. But I watched this with my wife. It's 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes of eating as many hot dogs and buns as you can. And last year, Joey Chestnut set a record with like 72 or 71 hot dogs, just more hot dogs than I will eat in the next 2 years. And he was on his way off to a pretty good start yesterday. And as a matter of fact, he had just put his 17th hot dog in his mouth about 2 minutes into it when a guy jumped on the stage. And he was wearing a Darth Vader mask. And Joey Chestnut was able to stop eating. Everyone else, all the other competitors are still eating. He had about a 5-dog lead at that time. But Joey Chestnut stopped eating, grabbed the guy who had jumped on stage, and put him in a headlock, took his Darth Vader mask off and dropped him to the ground, then calmly went back and shoved another 53 or 54 hot dogs into his mouth. He ended up with 61 or 63 hot dogs yesterday. I think it was 63 hot dogs at the end. And he won a chunk of change and a mustard yellow belt. And I don't get it, but I respect it. He's committed. But I love not only the pageantry of the event and the energy of it, but I love the guy who is the announcer. His name is Shea. And Mr. Shea with his straw boater hat standing in front of the crowd, the tens of thousands gathered at Stillwell and Surf in Coney Island, and he kicks it off. And I just think this introduction is brilliant.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment when our country comes together as one. Derek Stevens in Las Vegas, Ann Holt in Georgia, Matt Davis in Charlotte, and everyone here in New York City. We are one nation. It is the 4th of July. Are you with me?
I love the energy, but listen to this brilliant final phase of the introduction.
And so now, the championship of the world. It is go time. It is go time time. It is go, no, go, lock and load. Love them and leave them, smoke them. If you got them, see you want to see it, see on the other side. Time, time. Count it down with me from 9.
I'm not going to count it down, but that go time, it is go, go time, is one of the more brilliant, brilliant live introductions since the introduction of Frank Sinatra on his live album at Madison Square Garden that was done by the late Howard Cosell. If you don't know what it is, go look it up on the Google machine. You will stand and applaud. I wrap up today by telling you we have great things happening in the future. We have opportunities to stop the demise of America. We have every chance to step up and push the pause button on the people who would take us from the world's greatest example of freedom and capitalism and opportunity and put us into a socialist hell. We have that opportunity, but we have to finish this race. It means we have to get all the way across the finish line. And that happens this November. It's only just begun right now. We take back the House. We take back the Senate. And we take back the country. And then in 2024, we talk about America first again. And I don't know who's going to be on the top of the ticket, but if we've got the House and the Senate, prosperity can't be far behind. I'm just saying. Thanks to everybody involved today. Jeremy, thank you so much. And everybody who listened and tuned in and sent messages on social media, God bless you. Mike Broomhead will be back tomorrow. It's Mike Opelka reminding you, testudo, my friends, testudo.